Hey everyone, it's Ron Johnson. This is the Ron Johnson Show. On today's show, I'm excited. Gophers, Badgers week. We got to talk about that. But Justin Jefferson said something after the Vikings game. And I've said this over and over again after different Vikings games when I've noticed stuff, even in wins. I've said this even in wins. Justin Jefferson's point is 100% valid. Justin Jefferson's frustration, 100% valid. But what can the Vikings do? Are they going to listen to Justin Jefferson? Or are they going to keep doing what they've been doing? Definition of insanity in my book. You keep doing the same thing and expect a different result? Well, we'll talk about Justin Jefferson's quote coming up next on the Ron Johnson Show.
Locked On Sports Minnesota Podcast. It's endless Minnesota Vikings talk with the diverse voices of your local experts. Now the Ron Johnson Show. On the field, in the broadcast booth, Ron Johnson is Minnesota sports. He's played with them, hung out with them, and grown up with all the big names in Minnesota sports. They're hanging out with Ron Johnson. It's the Ron Johnson Show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast. And it starts now.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Ron Johnson Show, and I'm your host, Ron Johnson. Super excited about today, why we get to break down a little bit of football, but mainly Vikings, Patriots, it's coming up on Thanksgiving. Just a short 2 days away. You get to wake up. I don't know if you're going to have brunch, turkey, what you're going to do. But you're going to get to wake up and take care of that. And then later on in the evening, hopefully, you get to watch some good Vikings football. And we don't have a repeat of the Eagles, 7-24. And the Cowboys, I don't even know if I want to say the score, but we know, 40-3. But those are just two games. And they're not a microcosm of the season. No, because that would mean this team is not good, and that's definitely not the case. But Justin Jefferson, in my opinion, is spot on. And you have a rookie head coach who's learning, and I think that's what we all forget. Even though the Vikings were 8-1, they were national story. They were putting the chains on Kirk Cousins and Patrick Peterson. They were celebrating as a team with bowling pins in the end zone. Doesn't mean the coach has it all. He doesn't know it all. He hasn't been through it all. He's a rookie. But before we jump into this Justin Jefferson conversation and what the Vikings need to do moving forward, I want to make sure you guys remember, you can download now on Roku and Amazon Fire. You can download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. Just go to your TV, find whichever system or app you're using, search Locked On Sports Minnesota, hit download. It's going to add it right to your queue. You'll be able to scroll and search and find us. Click on it. There's all our videos, all of our shows. You can watch with us daily. You can also like, comment, and share whenever you jump on YouTube. So don't forget to do that as well. But as I bring Sam Extreme to the show, my producer, Sam, there's something that Justin Jefferson said that kind of, you know, I think, and I'm going to pay the tease off early. I don't want to keep the people waiting. Justin Jefferson's quote, and we'll bring it up on the screen. Justin Jefferson's quote, basically, I mean, and I tweeted this out too, and verbatim, Justin Jefferson said, it's tough with Kirk getting sacked before you even get out of your break. It's definitely a tough situation. We've been going, we've got to move forward with more quick game, letting the guys in space do work. Things we need to adjust on throughout the game. So as we see it, even if a certain play is called, get out of it. Kirk was doing that earlier. It seems like maybe they got a little too comfortable with our offense is just our offense. If things are not working the way we plan, then we need to find a way to adjust and go towards something that will work better for us. And you can read the rest of it. But he said, we've got to be better as a whole team. It's good because we have a chance to do that in 3 short days. And so when you think about that quote, and I said this, and that's what I joked in my tweet and said, hey, you can either listen to Justin Jefferson and his team, or you could just listen to the fan line after Vikings games or the Ron Johnson Show on Monday. I said that. I said, hey, this needs to change. There needs to be some short stuff. There needs to be some quick bubble screens when you're getting a guy like Jayron Kearse in the box. If your safety's in the box, not only was he in the box, he was inside of the linebacker, meaning he's telling you I'm covering this tight end, but that also means he can't help in the flat. So when you see that kind of stuff, you got to have you know, whether it's a blitz or whether it was a man, you know, kind of fire zone blitz where he was like, oh, wait, I'm covering the tight end, but he's blocking, so I'm just going to go because nobody's looking at me. You got to have breakers for that. You got to have plays that literally put them in a bind and they're like, oh, we can't do this anymore because they're killing us. And all Justin Jefferson is saying is we can't continue to run five-step drop if they're like killing seven sacks. This is the best defense as far as rush goes in 10 games. That's the best start ever for a defense with sacks, with 42 sacks in 10 games. That's the best ever. So that's a historical defense the Vikings faced on Sunday. Historical. 42 sacks in 10 games. That's an NFL record. So what Justin Jefferson is saying is, we got to be able to change this up. We got to be able to run hitches. We got to run slants. We got to run bubble screens. We got to run tunnel screens. We got to do the same things we see. Watch the 49ers. The 49ers ran whip routes. They ran quick one steps. They ran flats. And those guys are running after the catch. We know the Vikings can do it, but will they? How do they get to that? Also, here's another bright idea. Max protect. Bring CJ Ham in to be the other blocker instead of the other tight end. If you know you're not going to pass that tight end, bring your best blocker back there. Let him stand next to Kurt and just pick up and absolutely stonewall guys and help out. That's another option. But Sam, Justin Jefferson's frustrated. We know that. He's not happy with that. But at the same time, it's not one of those like, oh, you know, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. No, he's just saying, look, I know we can be good. We're 8-2. Like, we're going to the playoffs. So we got to get this fixed in the next seven games. Because those last two, Bears, Packers, I don't think those are going to matter. Especially for the NFC North. It's not going to matter. It might matter to get that two seed or possibly the one seed that the Eagles falter somewhere. But these next seven games, this is where you show who you are. This is where you show what you are. Do you want to finish 8-9 and you completely just screwed it up? Because it could happen. Let's not forget, the Bears and Packers are still the Bears and the Packers. The Bears' run game is good. The Colts, seems like Jeff Saturday's figuring it out. He's got the guys playing well. They almost beat the Eagles. They played better against the Eagles than the Vikings did. Vikings lost 24-7, sorry. They barely lost by one. Eagles almost lost that game to the Colts. So we can't say the Colts is an easy one. The Jets are a good team. The Patriots are a good team. The Giants are a good team. There's a tough stretch of seven. Like, it felt easy when they were 8-1. And I'm not going to lie. We're all creatures of the captive of the moment. 8-1, those last couple games seemed easy. Now, well, what this team just did, it doesn't seem easy anymore. Those could be losses. But Sam, I don't know. What do you think, or what do you make of Justin Jefferson's quote? Are you worried? Are you concerned? I know Luke Braun tweeted, like, look away. Don't act like, you know, it's nothing's happening. Like, this is what football players do. You talk about what you saw. We got to get to the quick game. We got to add some stuff to the, like, I guarantee Kevin O'Connell's going to throw a hitch or two or a slant this game. I guarantee it. If there's a prop bet out there for slants and hitches, take it. Pretty sure Bet Online, if you need a prop, that's one to add. Will Kevin O'Connell throw a hitch in a slant? Because I'm pretty sure he will after what just happened. Yeah. And with Bill Belichick. But what do you think, Sam? Are you worried about this quote?
Right. No, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I think Justin Jefferson understands that he has a voice. He didn't say this in an angry way. He didn't throw people under the bus. And he basically echoed what Kevin O'Connell said. Kevin O'Connell said he didn't coach well enough. So I don't think there's any secrets here that something needed to change offensively. So I would suspect that this has already been discussed in their building. Kevin O'Connell got together with Kirk and with Justin. They talked this out already, and Justin is echoing that. I don't think he did so maliciously. I don't think he's trying to get anybody in trouble. It's one loss, and Kirk said this after the game. It all counts for one, win or loss. And I think the Vikings need to really realize that they had so many fortunate wins along the way. They should be really happy to be in this position at 8-2. This is a great spot to be in. So you still control everything in front of you. You can go win, you know, the next six games in a row if you want, and you're going to have a stellar record. And I think Justin's prescription for how to fix this offense is a smart one. They've got wide receivers, Ron, that are so good at route running and creating separation at the line of scrimmage. There's no reason why they can't run some shorter stuff, some slants, or some stuff to the sideline. I think that this can only bode well for the Vikings, honestly, having this wake-up call.
This is a team that is really good. This is a team that has, like I've always said this, you got Justin Jefferson, you got Adam Thielen, you got Dalvin Cook, you got KJ Osborne. You now have TJ Hockenson, which is theoretically the best tight end in the NFC North, if not one of the best in the NFC. Now the usage, I mean, watching Travis Kelce, it was like watching like a great artist draw a picture, or watching, you know, Michael Jackson get out on stage and do his thing. Like watching Travis Kelce is what I imagine. Like when I look at poetry in motion in the dictionary, I want to see Travis Kelce running routes now. Like that's what they need to change that definition to. That was poetry in motion. Watching all the, I mean, and it wasn't like they were great routes. They were beaters. They would beat whatever coverage you had. When they were in man, he just ran across the field. They were taking what the defense get. Now, whether this is Eric Bieniemy and Reed just having a perfect game plan to the perfect defensive call, I don't know if that's it. I don't know if they're getting to the line and he has a choice, because that's what Justin Jefferson said. Let your guys in space do what they do. So meaning, hey, if I got man-to-man in the slot, let me run the choice route. You know, it's funny. I thought back to BC Johnson was supposed to be the fourth receiver. And I feel like that's what's missing as well. Like not having a true number four. Because Kevin O'Connell, and we talked about this early in the year during the preseason, Kevin O'Connell wanted to look like the Rams. He wanted to be able to go four wides. They haven't really been able to do that. Irv Smith was supposed to be the four. You know, we're like, oh, Irv Smith's going to be four, wide receiver three. Never came to fruition. BC Johnson was supposed to be that guy. You know, BC Johnson was going to be your slot runner, your choice runner. I remember talking to him at Panera, and he was like, yeah, like watching this film, like, man, it's crazy the freedom we have within the route. Like the freedom we have within the route. And now you're kind of hampered because your fourth guy, you don't have that. You don't have that right now. Like they haven't truly found a fourth receiver to complement, because you can't always put Justin Jefferson on the choice because he's going to get too many eyes. You know, KJ Osborne, I don't know if they would consider him shifty enough to do it. And Adam Thielen, he's more of your possession guy. So they needed that next guy to kind of be a little inside shifty guy that nobody's paying attention to. You know, that's why people want Odell Beckham so bad. But Odell Beckham, I don't know if he thinks Kirk Cousins is the long-term solution here. Like he wants to go somewhere, he said, and buy a house and live there, never move again. Or at least until he's done playing. You know, he wants to be there for a couple of years. He's tired of living out of suitcases, what he said. So I just don't feel like Minnesota's on his radar. But it's crazy when you think about that. So, you know what? 40-3, Vikings lose to the Patriots. It's over. Or, sorry, to the Cowboys. It's over. Now they have the Patriots on Thursday. We have one more sleep. One more sleep, and then the next one, we're waking up for Thanksgiving. We're waking up for Thanksgiving. We're going to have peas, greens, tomatoes, potatoes. You need – it's Thanksgiving. And then you get a treat. No, it's not Black Friday. It's not Christmas gifts early. But it's football, good football. Like I'm so glad it's not like Vikings Bears or some one of those like, oh, we got to have the Bears and Lions on things. No, let's go Vikings Patriots. Who knows what it's going to look like? But this is a good, Justin Jefferson has earned the right to be on primetime. You look at what he's done. You look at Kirk Cousins' game against the Bills as well. I know the NFL was happy about that because he is polarizing. So now everybody's going to be watching because you're going to have the haters that want him to fail. And you're going to have the supporters looking for a show. So who knows what Kirk Cousins is going to show up. This is going to be another primetime narrative of can Kirk Cousins get it done? If he doesn't, if he loses, Sammy, you tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. If he loses on primetime, do you – you know what? I think we were going to talk about that in the Daily 3, so I'm going to save that. I'm going to save that one. We're going to save that. Stick around for the Daily 3 because we're going to save that because that's a good one. This is primetime. This is, you know, Joy Taylor hating. On Kirk All Cousins, right. Stumble Kirk Cousins' little legs. And he's 6'4". He's 6'4". He don't got little legs. You know, Emmanuel Acho hating on Kirk Cousins. Oh, he didn't do well against my Eagles. And deservedly so, because he didn't do good against the Cowboys either. So, hey. But he doesn't block. He doesn't deal with J-Ron Kurz unblocked. That's not his job. Justin Jefferson was spot on. He didn't say Kirk had a bad game. He said, I hadn't even gotten out of my break yet. And Kirk is getting sacked. Because I seen Luke Bryan. Look at Justin – or not, no, sorry, somebody else said, look at Justin Jefferson killing Trayvon Diggs. Who cares? Like, they're not blocking. They're not even blocking. Like, who cares? Luke Brown actually said he likes where Kirk Cousins is at. So I will give him credit there. He's happy with Kirk Cousins at. Now, I didn't watch the video, so I don't know if it was a joke. But I did see him say he likes what Kirk
Saying
Cousins
something nice about Luke Braun. Look at you feeling all gracious.
But that's, again, I don't want to be set up for failure because I don't know what the, I didn't actually have time to watch the video. Like, so I don't know if it was a joke because I know Luke has his jokes. But he did say he likes what Kirk Cousins is at right now. Now, I don't know. Like, again, I don't know if that's a joke because I've seen people say that, like, man, this is a great quarterback here. And then they show like seven throws into the dirt. So you just never know with Luke. But coming up next, we're going to talk about Gophers, Badgers, Gophers, Hawkeyes. We haven't done it much this week. It pains me to do it, but we have to do it. But before you do that, make sure you check out the Minnesota Football Party on Mondays and Thursdays. Get your Vikings fix with Arif Hassan, Luke Inman, Luke Bryan, and Sam Ekstrom on the Locked On Sports Minnesota Podcast Network. And we have a word from our sponsors.
BetOnline.net remains your number one source for sports wagering info, news, and analysis. The Vikings are favored now by 2.5 against the Patriots. So New England's actually getting some action right now. Vikings favored by less than a field goal at home, primetime, on Thanksgiving. You can get NFL and NCAA football lines, NBA and NCAA basketball lines. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. It's the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head there today. On your laptop, desktop, mobile device, it's BetOnline, where the game starts.
Well, here we go, Sam. It's time for the second part of the show. And we got to talk about the Gophers. We haven't talked much about them. There's a narrative out there about PJ Fleck. And, you know, I know that we've always talked about, will he go to another school? Allegedly, Auburn might come open. And all of a sudden, what's his name? Lane Kiffin, you know, he was thrown out there, but he also then fired back at the media. Like, this is news to me. I never said I was stepping down to go to Auburn, and Auburn hasn't even offered him the job. So he, of course, went after a reporter. So we think about PJ Fleck and the schools he possibly can go to. Here's the problem with college coaching. You want your coach to do well, but then you want your coach to be happy too. So it's like a double-edged sword. Some coaches do really well in mid-area. Like, I would call Gophers a mid-area spot. Like, the upper echelon, you know, schools and jobs right now for college football, of course, are going to be USC just because of the city. You got Oregon because of what Nike does for them. You got Georgia and Alabama because they're historic programs. When Tennessee is doing well, it's definitely a SEC giant because they're considered. Ohio State, Michigan, those are definitely like forever spots. I think Penn State technically can be considered that. Joe Paterno made it that. But the Gophers, man, it because of like Mason getting fired after 10 whatever years, he went to 8 bowl games in 10 years. I think that was the dumbest firing ever. Like, it's just weird to me what Minnesota thought they should be when they had Glenn Mason. And so when you think about that, it's like, is PJ Fleck here forever? Is this his forever spot? We just don't know. Like, if Brian Kelly leaves LSU for the NFL or something, or if Notre Dame doesn't get going and they, you know, want to get rid of their coach, would PJ Fleck go there? Who knows? But when you talk about PJ, and this is where we go with this, Sam, and we'll kind of chat about this one. When you talk about PJ and the Gophers, this Iowa game. Like, this was the season, when you look at this schedule, first off, New Mexico State, Western Illinois, Colorado. So to start the season off, everybody was like, they should be 3-0, which they did. They handled their business. They looked like a really good team. Michigan State was the one because everybody said Mel Tucker was coming. Everybody in Michigan said it, not us. Mel Tucker's coming. Tucker's coming. Tuck's not coming. Like Debo. Tuck's not coming. Still not. I haven't seen him come yet. He hasn't come. Where is he at? But that was supposed to be the tough game. And then Minnesota killed them 34-7. So everybody's like, whoa, this Minnesota team might be for real. Which, that's what Minnesota does. They set you up. Mm-hmm. Because then Purdue walks into the building and the Gophers, and granted, Mo Ibrahim is out. They lost Chris Holtman-Bill early, but Mo Ibrahim out. Doesn't look good. Purdue takes care of business, 20-10. Then you're like, okay, Brett Bielema, Illinois, let's get it going. Nope, 26-14, didn't show up. Then you're like, okay, Tanner's out. We know, but Ethan Kelligmanis, we're excited about this young kid. Going to Penn State. No. Now, that was a Dallas Cowboys ass whooping. 45-17. That was a butt whooping right there. 45-17. Then you get Rutgers. Do what you're supposed to do. 31-0 there. You get Nebraska. Shouldn't have been that close, but 20-13. You take care of absolute business against Northwestern, 31-3. And so then people are back to it again. Minnesota, the Big Ten, you know, championship is in their hands. They win against Iowa. They just need Purdue to lose against Indiana, which might happen. And if that happens, that's really going to hurt. That's really going to hurt, because if Iowa wins, they're in the dang on Big Ten championship game now. And don't try to go for the, like, moral victory. We lost to the West champion. No, we're not doing that. We're not going to do that, friend. We're not going to go for moral victories this year. This is not a moral victory year, friend. This is not it. No. We don't care if Iowa gets to go to the Big Ten championship. We're not going to say we lost to the Big Ten West champion. We're not going to do that, friend, because they're going to get killed by Ohio State or Michigan. So that's not going to look good for the West. Like, that does not look good for the West at all. Honestly, I'd rather see Michigan, Ohio State just play twice. Really. Like, that's what I want right now. I don't care.
Just settle it this Saturday.
I want.
Don't even play the game.
Just don't even. Or play it back to back. Just keep playing. Because maybe Michigan beats Ohio State because they beat them bad last year. And then maybe Ohio State series. Beats them in the Big Ten championship. And then both of them are in the playoff and they don't have to play each other a third time. But, you know, one plays Georgia, the other plays TCU. And then we get the championship. Like, who knows? But USC is itching. USC is right there. They're five. USC can't wait for this weekend because they're like, if we win in Michigan, Ohio, then one of them has to lose. So we're possibly going to be four. Lincoln Riley, like, all the people made fun of him leaving and wearing the shoes that Oklahoma just gave him and getting Caleb Williams. Oh, it's not going to work. Oh, dude might be in the first year in the Final Four. That's Cincinnati-esque, Luke Fickle-esque. But I feel like USC can build big time off being in the Final Four. Like, the recruiting portal for him is about to get dumb. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about another maroon and gold team. We're talking about these Gophers. And here's where I leave it. You got Wisconsin coming up. And I feel like the axe, like, I do enjoy beating Wisconsin because I just hate them. I don't like them. But I just don't like Iowa either. Like, I'm tired of, like, I didn't realize PJ Fleck has not beat Iowa ever. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that because I'm sick of Iowa people. I'm sick of all the tweets. I can't even say anything to them because they beat us. Like, I can't say I hate Iowa. Like, we look so dumb saying who hates Iowa. Like, who cares? No, we can't say it. Stop. We can't. Like, let's just say we hope Iowa, you know, we wish you well, Iowa. Who wishes Iowa well? We do. Like, because we're not beating them. And so when you think about this Badgers game, Sam, and that's what I'll say to you. Thanksgiving, this weekend. So there's a lot of pressure on young players not being able to go home. But they do a team dinner. So they try to help that family atmosphere out for the players. Some of the players' families who stayed because they just played Saturday. So they were like, you know what, we're just going to stay, which is smart because most people can just take off Monday, Tuesday. They get Wednesday off anyway. So a lot of families stayed for the week to hang out with their kid for the holiday weekend. So I think that's actually pretty cool. And that's a unique opportunity to be able to do that. And I heard a lot are going to make that short 4.5-hour drive to Wisconsin, 5-hour drive to Wisconsin for the game Saturday, and then drive back Sunday and fly home Sunday or Monday morning. So it's a great week, you know, if you can afford to do that. But for the players who don't have that, mentally you can get worn down this week. This is one of the, like, the holidays for some people are not glorious. They're depressing. So how does that weigh on them when you're going into the Badger Stadium? And you just lost to Iowa. So hopefully that punch in the mouth. And it wasn't a beat up. They didn't get beat down. It was a very good game. It was 10-10 for very key plays. You know, you got Ethan Kelly-McManus that should have hit Brevin Spanford in the flat. Probably walks in for a touchdown. Different game. Mo Ibrahim on the 9-yard line. If he doesn't fumble, they probably kick a field goal there and they make it. If not, go in and score because Mo was running the crap out of the ball, 263 yards. Yeah. They probably score there. Win the game. And then I don't know if it was third down, second down, but the slant route where the receiver didn't really run through the ball, which it's a young guy, so he's trying to slow down and catch in his chest. Put your hands out, run through the ball, put your hands far away from the DB so he can't get to it. Doesn't do that. Doesn't go catch it with his hands, hits off his body. DB makes a play, interception. Even if they run the ball there, maybe go for a field goal or punt even, you make Iowa have to drive 90-ish yards. That offense is not built to do that. That offense is built to do what they do. They have more turnover. They have a top three defense. They score just as much, if not more, than their offense at one point this season. There was a game against, I think, South Dakota where Iowa, it was 7-0. Not a touchdown. Two safeties and a field goal. Who does that? Not one safety, but two safeties and a field goal. 7-0. So what happened in that game was expected. It was going to be a close one. Defensive battle. Gophers just couldn't win it. Now you go to Wisconsin and Sam, they have to get it figured out. But in your mind right now, do you feel like the Gophers have enough to beat Wisconsin with Ethan Calick-Manis? Most likely, because it doesn't seem like Tanner Morgan, after suffering two concussions within 30 days, is going to play. So do you think they can get it done against Wisconsin? Braylon Allen, Jim Leonard, now there is some doubt in that town, because there's people tampering, as Jim Leonard said, trying to get Braylon Allen to enter the portal and come to a big time program and get ready to go to the NFL. One more year, go to USC maybe. That might happen. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think the formula is the same. I think you have to run the ball excessively. There are 4 out of 6 games now, Ron, where they've completed fewer than 10 passes. This Gophers offense, I dare say, kind of looks Iowa-like at times, because they are very one-dimensional. I'm not sure they like Calick-Manis' arm, but it's not ready yet. It's got to marinate. It's got to season. It's got to, percolate. There's some time required for him to get to where he needs to be. And PJ Fleck, as a coach, I think if he feels like the passing game isn't quite right, he just runs the ball. He doesn't really try to pass the ball very often. So, again, they're going to have to run with Mo. And unfortunately, if they win the Axe run, you kind of alluded to this, isn't it going to feel a little bit hollow? Because they're still not going to make the Big Ten championship game. Because I think that Iowa game is going to remain so sour in their mouth. And it's not as if Wisconsin is really having a good year. It's not like you're going in and knocking off the Badgers. The Gophers are probably right on their level, if not better, this year. Wisconsin is having such a bad year that it doesn't feel like it's as big of an accomplishment. So it'd be nice to win, but I think they're going to have to run it with Mo, and Wisconsin knows that. So they're obviously going to go all out to stop him.
Well, we got the Daily 3 coming up next. And so that's going to be fun, because we're going to talk Gophers. We're going to talk Vikings. But we're going to talk Timberwolves, because something's going on with the Timberwolves that they were disappointing. But, hey, I hoop. I know what it takes sometimes. So I know what's going on with the Timberwolves. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. But remember, when you subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota, you're getting endless Vikings talk with local experts. Subscribe to the free Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast feed wherever you find your podcast. We have a word from our sponsors.
Thanks, Ron. Built Bar. They are an outstanding holiday treat. You can fill your stockings with them. They've got some great new flavors, white chocolate peppermint granola, and white chocolate peppermint granola and candy cane brownie puffs. So good. Get a box of those, hoard them for yourself, share them with your family, whatever you want, but they're just like the universe's most delicious treat. If you haven't tried Built before, it's a great time to try these delicious-tasting protein bars that are revolutionizing nutrition with 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, and a shockingly low 130 calories. Sink your teeth in and change your life forever. Built, you gotta try these. Get 15% off your order right now by using the promo code LOCKEDON15. At built.com. Ron, I sat down last night and I watched the Timberwolves extensively. Mm-hmm. Probably the first game I've watched in a while. I've been distracted with other sports, distracted with work, and just sad about the plight of that team. Well, here they are, Ron. They're back above 500. They're 9-8 after beating the Heat 105-101. Anthony Edwards goes off in the second half. Jaden McDaniels, Karl Anthony Towns all had big games. That was a really, really fun-looking basketball team in the second half against Miami last night. So that's 4 in a row for the Wolves, Ron. Are they back? Are the Wolves stabilized? Is it all okay now?
So this is what's crazy to me. I go back to this Jazz thing and the Jazz trade and getting rid of – they're 12-7. So I don't know what – I thought they were trying to tank. But they're clearly not. And if they are trying to tank, maybe their owner's like, dude, why are y'all winning? Like, and maybe they are pissed off. Like, they got rid of Gobert. They got rid of, what's his name, Mitchell. So people are probably like, hold up. Wait a minute. What are y'all doing? Wait, you think we're not good enough? Okay. And they're going out winning. They're number one in the West. So this is funny. And then you got the Timberwolves, who are supposed to be four. They're 10th. So are they back? I don't know, because they're 10th. They might not make the playoffs. I don't know what that means for draft, you know, standings. My thing is, if you're not going to make the playoffs, don't be 10th. Just go be 14th. Go be 15th. Be the Rockets. The Rockets are 3-14. Go get the number one pick. But this is what I will say. Chip in a chair, 82 games. They can rattle off 20, and all of a sudden they're 29-8, and we're singing a different tune. And they go 29-8. It's not going to happen, people, I know. But if they go 29-8, they're probably the top seed. I mean, because I don't think the Jazz are going to win out and only lose one. Suns are probably going to lose more than two. Nuggets, you know, then you got the Clippers, Kings, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Trailblazers. And then you got the Mavericks in the ninth. And so for the Timberwolves, you don't want to be in that play-in game situation. You don't want to be in that play-in playoff situation. I get it. If you get in, though, great. I hope there's not like a Patrick Beverley jump on the table situation again just because you're in. You should be in with the team you have. So hopefully they can build off that, because again, basketball is about confidence. You hit one shot. Like, I hooped yesterday and I was shooting so good. Dude came to me in the locker room after and said, man, I wish you would have missed one. Like, sometimes that basket just looks bigger. It looks like an ocean. It's like, oh, I'm on. Like, my shot is, I'm confident in it. There's no like, oh, should I shoot it? Should I not? And so these guys are, I feel like maybe they that was that last night. Now, again, it doesn't, I need to see a 5-game sample size. So my opinion, no, I don't think they're back. I can't say they're back. I got to see more than that. So let's look at these next five, and then we'll revisit this are they back conversation. We'll talk about them more during the week now as the football season for college comes to an end. But let's give them 5 games and see what these next five look like. I don't know, Sam. What do you think?
Well, the first half last night was same old Wolves. It was lifeless. There was no energy. But they had a switch that they flipped last night, and that was really encouraging. Now, the problem is that they did it all without Gobert. Gobert was a liability last night. We haven't seen the same Gobert that was kind of actually looking really good early in the season. So that worries me, because it means you're not getting really anything out of this trade. I want to see Gobert impact these games. That's why they traded for him. Let's move on to Vikings Patriots. Ron, if the Vikings lose this game to New England, if they have a walk-off punt return, for instance, again, and they beat the Vikings, is the sky falling? What is the consequence if Minnesota loses this game to New England?
So if they lose this game to the New England Patriots, no, sky's not falling. It's not over for them. And this is where I go with this. You look at the Vikings and where they would stand. They'd be 8-3, still be number one in the NFC North, still would be the best team in their, you know, playoff slating. And why is this thing not trying to search me the right way? There it is. They would not be the number one team in the NFC, but they would be one of the top three still, in my opinion, even though I'd say people are going to say Eagles, Cowboys, and then Vikings. That's just where I would go with an NFC right now. Now, the 49ers looked really good last night, Monday night. Sorry. 49ers looked really good. Yeah, that was last night. I don't know. My days are running together. But the 49ers, I think in the NFC, I probably would say 49ers are better right now than the Vikings just because of how they do their offense. So when you think about this, Packers game won the way they should have, but the Packers suck. So can we take credit for that? I don't know. You got blew out by the Eagles. Lions game, 28-24, should have been that close. Probably not, but the Lions are playing better. New Orleans, 28-25, should have been that close. Probably not. Bears, 29-22, should have been that close. Well, the Bears are better. They are getting better. The Miami Dolphins, 24-16. The Dolphins are good, even though you did not face Tua. Arizona, they've had their struggles, 34-26. You got Washington, 2017. Taylor Heineke's winning games. The man has Jordans for every team he's beaten. Thank goodness he didn't get the purple Jordans, but he's got Jordans for every team he beats. They beat a really good Buffalo Bills team, 33-30. So if they lose to the Patriots and sky falling, I'd say no. You got the Jets. You got the Lions, like I said, playing well. You got the Colts, who knows what they're going to be. You got the New York football Giants. They're good. You got the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. So is the sky falling? No, I don't think so, because I do still think that the Lions, the Packers, the Bears are very winnable games. I said 11-6 or 12-5. I think between the Colts, the Giants, and the Jets, they're going to get one of those. Now, if they get this Patriots, then that's that. I think they're there. You get the Patriots, that's 9. You only need 3 more games to do what I said, which is 12-5. And is that a letdown after going 8-1? No, because what's the difference in going 8-5 and then finishing 12-5? Like, I get it. It's the narrative. It's the perception. But my opinion, no, the sky's not falling. What do you think?
Well, it is kind of helpful to have Philadelphia in this position because the other two teams, the Giants and the Cowboys, cannot pass the Vikings in seeding because they're wild cards. Philadelphia right. gets the 1 seed. The Vikings don't have to worry about the Cowboys having the tiebreaker and passing them for the 2 seed. They don't have to worry about the Giants because they're wild cards. They just have to worry about the 49ers and the Seahawks. So the Vikings right. have a 2-game cushion for that 2 seed. So they are still very comfortable in that spot. Even if they lose another game this week, they would still be in the 2 seed with some winnable games ahead. Last one, Ron. The axe is at stake on Saturday. We talked about this. Let me just put a bow on it with this question. If the Gophers win the game, is the season a success? If they lose the game, is the season a failure? Does it come down to this?
If they lose this game to the Badgers, it's definitely, yeah. It's 7-5, in my opinion. It's a failing season, but like PJ Fleck says, it's okay to fail. Failure is growth. You have to learn. So the seniors, I don't know what they're going to learn from this because they're done playing football, some forever. Mo will get to go on and play. Tyler Newbin, if he decides to leave and not come back, he'll get to go on and play. Brevin Spanford did not want to participate in the senior day activity, so he's coming back. But when you look at this team as a whole, yeah, they lose, it's fail. If they win, good. You have the axe, so you can't say you lost all the trophies. You get the axe. But I agree with what you said earlier. It feels hollow. Like it feels like it was theirs for the taking. Like when you look at the schedule they had, they didn't have anybody. The toughest opponent from the East was Penn State. The next toughest was Michigan State. You didn't have to deal with Ohio State in Michigan. So it felt like one of the easiest schedules. And when you look at the teams they've beaten in their record versus the teams they've lost to in their record, they weren't beating good teams. 7-5, you probably go to the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, which I would probably go home for a day. I would, go to the Vikings game on the 25th, Christmas Eve is the Vikings game Saturday. Sunday, I would hang out on Christmas with the fam. And then Monday morning, maybe me and the wife jump on a flight, last minute flight to Detroit, go home. I don't have to get a hotel because my mom lives literally 5 minutes from Ford Field. Go home for the day, watch the Vikings game. The Gophers bowl game, hang out home, fly back on Tuesday. And yeah, so we'll get to go see, the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit. I'll hop on, like I said, I'll hop on a quick flight, be back. But here's the thing. Is that a win even if they win the game? I know Tanner Morgan, he's going to get a chance to play. 30 days back, plus for a bowl game. So he'll get to clear concussion protocol. He gets to go out on his way. Does Ethan still deserve to play in the bowl game? I would say yes, but I understand trying to make this a storied, Tanner Morgan's story. They can, ride off in the sunset in his last game. He didn't get to do it against Iowa. He might not get to do it against Wisconsin, but he will get to probably do the bowl game and take the last victory formation ever. And, they're all about the theatrics. I get it. But Sam, what do you think? If they lose or win, failure, success, what do you got?
Yeah, I think if they win, I think it's medium. It's neutral. I don't think it's a failure. I don't think it's a real victory. I mean, I think success would have been Big Ten championship game. Failure would be like not being bowl eligible. I think they're right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for the Ron Johnson Show today. I want to thank Sam Ekstrom. I want to thank Matt DeBritz. Hey, you guys heard it all. Like, comment, share. Let us know what you think. Gophers lose. Is this season a failure? Gophers win. Do you really care? Vikings, if they lose, is the sky falling? Like, we saw how bad it got against the Cowboys. Now, again, if they lose by 1, can you say, okay, fine? Or if they get blown out, which, like, where are you at? Sky falling or, 8-3, still the number, like Sam said, they have a 2-game lead. But remember, Locked On Sports Minnesota gives you endless Vikings talk with local experts. Get your daily 30-minute dose of sports with Care 11 Sports anchor Reggie Wilson going back and forth with his co-host Luke Inman. It's fast, it's fun, it's superior sports talk. It's your daily sports show. Remember, you can also download this app called Amazon Fire. You can go get it. Roku on the TV. Download Locked On Sports Minnesota. You can get all of our videos, all of our shows. Thank you, and have a great day.